Amen. So our passage this morning is from Genesis chapter 2. But in Genesis chapter 1, where creation begins, what we're going to get in Genesis chapter 1 is kind of a wide-angle view of God creating everything. And it's important to note how God creates things in Genesis chapter 1, because it's different when it comes to man and woman. In chapter 1, God speaks and things just pop into existence. Let there be light, and there's light. God speaks and things are created. But in Genesis chapter 2, we get this kind of narrow view and this focusing on God creating man and woman. And how he creates man is different and unique from everything else. God gets his hands dirty. He grabs some dust and he forms this man like a potter forming clay, and then he breathes into it and it comes to life. It's different than anything else God has created, and it's meant to show us that there is something special about this creation. That this thing is unique. And so unique is this man that God takes him and places him into this special garden that God has watered with all these rivers. And he places the man in there with a task, with a role, a job. It's not toilsome. It's not burdensome. It's not punishment. It's filling a role that God has given him. And that is to tend this garden, to watch after it and the animals. The first job he gets is to name the different animals. And as he's doing this, God sees something that's not quite right. And it is. It's the first thing that God sees in his creation that he calls not good. Genesis chapter 1, God makes something. The first day, he says, it's good. Second day, it's good. Sixth day, it's very good. But here, God sees something that is not good. And by not good, it doesn't mean like it's morally wrong, but there's something incomplete about this. This creation, this man is special, but there's something incomplete here. This guy is alone. And this thing that's incomplete, it affects the man. So then God goes further into creation. In order to make things complete, he puts the man into a deep sleep. He probably fed him a bunch of turkey and put the football game on. You know, he's in a deep sleep. And so God goes in and he opens him up, takes out a rib, takes this rib and forms and makes something new again. And here again, we're seeing something special and unique from the rest of the things God created. The words used that in the making of this woman is only used for her in this passage. And it's special. And out of this, he gets this woman. And he takes this woman and he sets her before Adam. And Adam's like, whoa, man. And that's how she got her name, woman. No. Instead, what he says is, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This is the one. And all of a sudden, creation is complete. And things are right. From one, God makes two. And in these two, they are so unified, and creation is so perfect, and there is so much harmony that these two are one. And at the end of this chapter, we get this assessment that made my kids giggle when we read this passage the other day at our kitchen table, that Adam and Eve were there, and they were naked and not ashamed. The kids giggle at that kind of stuff all the time. The point of that last weird phrasing, pointing out that they're naked and there's no shame, the point is for us to view and to focus in on that shame aspect. Because what is it that's missing that would cause them to have no shame? There's no sin. Sin hasn't been introduced into the world yet. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no sin. There's no division. There's no separation between one and the other and between one and God. It is perfect. But of course, and we all know this, things didn't stay that way. You know how I know they didn't stay that way? Y'all are wearing clothes this morning. You're obviously ashamed of something. Sin comes into the world. You know the story. Adam and Eve eat the fruit. And as soon as sin comes into the world, one which became two, which became one, becomes two again. And there's separation. There's division. There's disunity rather than unity. And the first thing Adam and Eve do to each other is they start casting blame. This desire for self-preservation and selfishness enters into things. And two chapters later, you have their sons, one murders the other. Two chapters, and we're already into human murder, a brother murdering his own brother. Things are no longer, it's not that they're incomplete anymore, they're flat out broken. Our sinful human hearts, they can't play together with others. They can't play nice with the other, with others. All of human relationships have an essence of brokenness to them. There is separation, there is division, there is disunity everywhere we see. We see it in marriages, in relationships gone sour. We see family divisions, parents to child. We see division amongst siblings. We see it church members. We see it one church body to another church body. We see it in community members. We see it in race. And we see it in classes. There is division. There is separation. There is disunity in every aspect of our human existence, one to another. But the worst part of it all is that there is separation, division, and disunity, one to God. It is all over. It's not incomplete. It's broken. But God, of course, sees a way through all of this. And the way that he sees it is truly remarkable. There's a doctrine in the Christian church called the Holy Trinity. It's how we understand who God is. We understand that God is one God. There is only one God, but God shows himself and exists in three different persons. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have existed since always, since before time began. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit are eternal and have always been. They have always been in perfect relationship with each other. And the way God saw to heal and bring reconciliation to a broken humanity is to bring brokenness into the Holy Trinity itself. God sends his Son down, and he who knew no sin became sin for us. And when he dies on the cross, God the Father is severed, is broken from God the Son. God brings reconciliation to human beings through the brokenness of the holy, eternal Trinity. As men and women, as children, baptized into our Lord Jesus Christ, we are clothed in a way that Adam and Eve weren't clothed. See, when Adam and Eve realized they were naked, God made clothes for them out of animal skins. God clothes you in the waters of holy baptism. The animal skins just covered their guilt. Baptism washes yours away. Baptism brings you the forgiveness of sins. Baptism also brings into you God's Holy Spirit, a Spirit that lives in you, works among you, always working in you to bring about reconciliation, one to another and one to God. Reconciliation often will feel impossible. And maybe a full reconciliation probably is at times impossible. It's painful, and we know it's painful because the way we know it is that we look to the cross, because that's where it truly was painful. But God desires it. God puts His Spirit into us to make us into one body, one church, with one faith, one baptism, under one Lord, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.